Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Week zero is done. I think EJ Warner might be the first victim claimed by the transfer portal. He's in his third school in as many years. Iowa State may now be in the driver's seat of the Big 12. I think they got to overcome that Arizona State hump, but we'll see what happens. And we've got number one taking on number three this Saturday. And in the boldest move of the 2025 season so far, Dano showed up with a calf shirt on a podcast full of grunts. What's up, trash talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable, or if you prefer, you can call it Ring Knocker Radio. I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Ikebesa calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut, and Triggered Joe from the home of the Big House. Unfortunately, Omar is not going to be able to join us tonight. He is doing some household six chores. So happy wife, happy life. We wish him a shout out and hope everything that's good for him today. Anyway, how did the weekend go? What'd you guys end up watching? We'll start with Dano and go to Joe. Thanks.
Great weekend, notwithstanding Army didn't play. But, you know, who decided to put Idaho State at UNLV on the Mountain West Network? And who in the hell has Mountain West Network? Because that might have been the game of the day, and it was hidden behind a paywall. And I couldn't even figure out how to get that thing on my TV. Iowa State, you know, I knew during the first half they were going to win just because they were slowly but surely chunking away on the ground against K-State, and I thought that was going to show up in the fourth quarter, and it did. Kept an eye on Sam Houston State at Western Kentucky, but man, Sam Houston State never got it into gear. And finally, the actual game of the day, Stanford at Hawaii. Holy shit, what a great game. So impressed by the Rainbows quarterback. They're good. I like that. Yeah. It was a good game.
Yeah. I will agree with you on that. I think they're doing pretty well, man. It's been interesting. Joe, how about you?
Yeah, I started my day like both y'all probably did with Iowa State, Kansas State, and Ireland. And, you know, sloppy first half, fumbles, and pyrotechnics clouds, and both D-lines kind of bullying the O-lines and having their way. It seemed like both teams kind of needed a half to settle in with all everything surrounding the game. So, I don't know. I heard a lot of buzz about Avery Johnson and Dylan Edwards before the game, and Edwards going out with an injury and having that muff punt was kind of a bet. We didn't get to see much from him, but I felt like Rocco Becton and Carson Hansen outshined him. I mean, Edwards had that rough day because he was injured, but you know, Hansen wasn't flashy, and neither was Rocco Becton, but he made plays when he needed to. And with that defense, I feel like Iowa State really has a chance of being in the playoffs.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, man. Like, of course, I watched the kickoff game. That was a week zero game for sure. Interesting to see, like, again, and we'll get to it when we start talking about games of the week. But Dano, your quest to find stuff on streaming is going to be a lot more difficult this year because, like, majority of the games have transitioned over to some type of streaming service. Gone are the days of, hey, I just pull out, you know, my antenna and turn on my television and I'm able to tune into at least 2 to 3 good college football games in a weekend. It's starting to change a lot. But speaking of things changing, if you're changing your location, i.e. PCS, we had the realtor for you. Our host is Jocelyn Brett.
Seamless transition.
Yes, I'm sorry. And then I screw it up because I stumble over my words. So we have the realtor for you. Her name is Jocelyn Bradley. If you're PCSing to the Fort Bragg area, you should talk to her. Jocelyn is a military veteran who spent her career in Army logistics. There she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream home when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn has an extensive network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're relocating somewhere else in the country. So if you're in the market for a new home, she should be your first call. Jocelyn has decided to support us at Acer Football again this season, and we thank her for that. Look, even if you're not moving specifically to Bragg, you should find a realtor that you can trust. Jocelyn makes recommendation. It won't cost you anything. Reach out to her and let her put you in touch with somebody with some actual integrity in whatever market you're moving into. Dano, if you don't mind, could you run down the Service Academy standings or at least the games that are coming up this week?
Yeah, so Army plays Tarleton State at Mikey Stadium this Friday, 6 p.m. on the CBS Sports Network. We're going to obviously talk much, much more about that on the Army show. Navy opens at home against VMI at noon on the CBS Sports Network. Let's go, Keydets. And Air Force opens against Bucknell at 3:30 p.m. on CBS Sports. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if that one's close.
Nice. Yeah. And just another quote programming note. Hey, we've got the other FCS academies or the outside of the FBS academies. They start playing around September the 7th. But as always, we're always interested in finding out what games you guys are watching. So if you tell us what you're watching, we will highlight them as we get through the rest of the schedule. But let's move on to the Blue Falcon of the Week. Joe, who's in infamy in college football?
Forgive me. This is going to be my fastest Blue Falcon breakdown ever. But when we're a month into the season, I'll have a bigger menu of shenanigans to pick from. It's the pyrotechnics guy in Dublin, Ireland, that created a cloud so heavy Dylan Edwards muffed a punt. I mean, that's what he said was the reason for him not seeing it. But either way, I enjoy the pageantry and I love the enthusiasm. But pregame fireworks are for the Super Bowl and the World Cup. We live, we learn. But that's the Week Zero Blue Falcon. Having said that, do you want to say anything or you want me to just roll into this segment that we've
I think created? You just roll into the next one. Okay. I think this will be interesting for everyone.
So Colonel Rob and I were talking, and giving out the Blue Falcon can feel like ultra critical sometimes. And it's like, yeah, gee, I wonder why. Right. But so I thought to counter that, we would hand out the hold my beer moment of the week in college football. And it's the moment or the segment of a game, maybe it's a half or a quarter or a drive, where somebody says, fellas, hold my beer, watch this, and puts his teammates on his back and steals the show. So without further ado, the first ever hold my beer moment of the week goes to previously mentioned Rocco Becht, the QB from the Iowa State Cyclones. I don't know if you guys noticed, but he didn't have such a great first half. The fumbles, he was sacked four times, and he's running around on a soccer field that's meant for guys 5'8", 160 to jog for 3 hours. Shocker that the field was coming out from underneath of him. But I don't know if it was like at halftime he listened to the pregame hype about Avery Johnson that he wasn't getting or what it was, but he looked like a different quarterback in the second half. And when he plunged in from 7 yards out with 6:30 to go, that turned out to be the game winner. And, you know, that's what winners do. They take over when it's important, and they win the game. So, Rocco Becht, you have captured the first ever hold my beer moment in college football, and hopefully there's many more to come.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, I mean, that was a great game. And, again, I think in, you know, terms of performance, Rocco Becht did lose the hair battle because Avery Johnson has glorious locks, you know. But in terms of, like, performance on the field, I think it was just a matter of time before one of those guys had a breakout game. And I think it was, you know, I think that was truly one of those contests that whichever quarterback played the best was going to have the win.
Yeah, and defense did factor into that because Deson Brooks of Idaho State was an honorable mention. Dude had like 12 carries for 18 carries for 138 and two touchdowns, but they lost. And K-State's defense is they look pretty tough. So yeah. Given all those factors, I thought it was just a tougher moment for Beck to come through and get the win. Now, Hawaii's quarterback definitely had a great performance also, so – I don't know. We just didn't mention that.
There are some surprising outcomes this weekend. I had rough expectations. I took it on the chin in my picks and locks this week. But the reality of it is it's college football. It's week zero. Things are going to change. But I think there are some great performances. And speaking of things that did not change, let's talk about the top 10 because there was no movement since week zero. Joe, over to you.
Yeah, I'm going to just kind of roll through and say, you know, who they're playing and make it real short and sweet. But number one, we got Texas. Longhorns and Arch Manning get the party started day one in the Horseshoe against number three Ohio State at 12 noon on Saturday. Number two is the Penn State Nittany Lions. They have Nevada coming to town. They play a 3:30 and are 44-point favorite. Number three is the previously mentioned Ohio State Buckeyes and defending national champions who have the Longhorns coming to town. And I think after what Paul Feinbaum, the caricature, said about them, they might be feeling a little disrespected in the media. I think this is an absolute barn burner. Ohio State's 2.5-point favorites. Number four, we got Clemson. Cade Klubnik leads the Tigers of Death Valley against the other Tigers of Death Valley. Clemson is a 3.5-point favorite this Saturday. They got LSU coming to town. Yeah, it's a battle of Death Valley. Should be a really good game. Georgia has Marshall coming to town. They come in at number 5. They are a 40-point favorite, so we're not going to learn much about them this Saturday. At number 6, we got the Notre Dame Fighting Irish going into Miami Gardens to play the Miami Hurricanes at the Hard Rock on Sunday, because Notre Dame's always so special. At 7:30, they're a 2.5-point favorite. There's a lot of noise coming out of South Bend about them making a run. So at number 7, we have the Oregon Ducks. They're at home against Montana State. That game starts at 4, and they're a 30-point favorite. Sorry about that. I had two pages mixed up. At number 8, we got Alabama. The Crimson Tide start their season in what would have been the primetime game of the week 10 years ago as they go to Tallahassee and play Florida State at Doak Campbell. Alabama's a 2-touchdown favorite. At number 9, we got the LSU Tigers. Like I said earlier, they have a chance to jump up several spots as they travel to Clemson on Saturday. And at number 10, just like LSU, the Miami Hurricanes can prove a lot and leapfrog a lot of teams in week one if they can pull off the upset against Notre Dame.
Yeah, so quick thoughts on the top 10, first top 10 ranked on ranked matchups. I mean, for me, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I think we're going to dispel some rumors about which quarterback, you know, which redshirt quarterback is the best in Ohio and Texas, right? I think we're going to figure that out pretty quickly. I think, you know, one of the difficulties that everybody's going to have is like which team reloaded faster. You know, it's like, you know, the wide receiver room at Ohio State is going to be good. Like, it's been good for the last, what, 10, 15 years, like how many first rounders have come out of that wide receiver room? So it's like how much depth does Arch Manning have, or who's spelling him to help offset, you know, the pressure that he's going to get? Because, you know, I think Johnny Manziel said it best, like, hey, when you go to the SEC, people are headhunting and they're coming after you. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, do we see Arch Manning's backup, you know, because it's a blowout or because of an injury? And that's really the 79-cent question. But Dana, what are your thoughts on these top matchups this weekend?
I guess it's just amazing that we're in week one and one of these four teams could almost get their season wrecked. I mean, you don't want to overreact, but if you're Texas or Ohio State and you take a loss here, that's a real bad deal as you're trying to fight for positioning in the playoff down the line. And for Notre Dame or Miami, this could work out to be an elimination game. I mean, honestly, it's effectively your margin of error in week one. So whichever one of these teams loses, they sort of have to win out, or who knows how it goes, which is great. Like, that's why college football is great, but it's also insane. So yeah, glad I'm not doing that this week.
Yeah. I think one of the other things that's been coming out, you know, you hear all the chatter now is people adjusting their in-conference schedule. So the SEC has added a 9th conference game. So you're going to have 3 permanent opponents and 3 rotating opponents. So more than likely your 3 permanent opponents will be your, you know, your in-state rivalries or whatnot. And then, you know, hey, why are we doing this? To make the strength of schedule tough. So if you haven't looked at them, and I'm not going to break down the whole list, but like one of the things that has changed in the college football playoff for this year is the top 5 conference finishers in the polling get automatic bids. And then everything else is pretty much wide open. So like, you're not going to have, you got to give sports writers something to do, or they will continue. They will continue to be in the, you know, in the shoe for a 3-loss Alabama. But that's part of the problem, is they're trying to, you know, and this is when you get into the absurdity too of everybody saying like, hey, maybe we need an 18 or a 24 team playoff. You know, like, hey, let's shorten the regular season to 8 conference games, 2 out of conference games, and then playoffs forever. And then you run into the same boat that, you know, the NFL Players Association has, and at least they have a players association to be like, hey, we're playing too many damn games. How do we shorten this thing up? But Joe, what are your thoughts on this week? Do you have any matchup that's sticking out to you?
It's Ohio State, Texas. And to be perfectly honest, it's a respect thing between Michigan and Ohio State. We hate each other's guts, but we respect each other. And anybody saying they're coming into the horseshoe and they're going to win by 2 or 3 scores, you better play on Sundays, because that's not happening. So I kind of want Ohio State to do what they did to Tennessee when Tennessee thought they were going to bring the SEC up there. It was like, hey, we play football in the up north too. I'm like, You may be fast, but it's cold. It hurts way worse when you get stuck when it's 32 degrees outside, I promise. So I'm going to be looking forward to that. I think Ohio State actually wins that game. I think Arch Manning has a few turnovers, and they heat them up, and it's a lower scoring game than people think. But, you know, we talk about all the time, defense, a fast defense beats a fast offense on day one.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's one of the things that we absolutely saw in the first, and we'll dive into this anyway. That's our topic for this week is, you know, what we saw coming out of week zero. But when you think about, you know, these matchups this weekend, I think the most interesting one, in my opinion, of the ranked teams taking on somebody is Miami and Notre Dame. And the reason why I say that is because Notre Dame stumbled last year and they got over because – you know, they beat up on the two service academies with great records, right? And that's probably what pulled them out of their skid. Like, let's be honest. You know, Army Navy's record going into those games is probably what saved Notre Dame's season.
They travel really, really well.
Yeah.
So
let's not forget it's a business.
I'm not trying to sound like a conspiracy theorist. That's just real. Notre Dame brings money. They bring people. Oh, yeah. They bring fans. Is it fair? Not maybe not necessarily, but if between Notre Dame and SMU, Notre Dame's gone.
Yeah, you're going to pick.
You know, it's just that kind of thing. So,
yeah, and we understand that college football is even more of a business than it was, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. So that being said, I think that's going to be interesting. But like if Miami goes, you know, if they get mollywopped, if Notre Dame loses by like a couple scores, are they even in the conversation anymore?
No, because Notre Dame is supposed to win every game this year. So any game they lose, they're going to be – if they get drubbed by somebody, they're going to have to run the table and hope to sneak in back door.
Yeah. I personally just don't see it happening. I know that we've got a plan in there, so we need to get Kelvin White back on the horn because he's at Notre Dame, and maybe he has some insights that we don't know because, you know, we're not close enough to the hooch to figure it out. But hey, what are your takeaways from week zero? I mean, I think, you know, we already talked about the pyrotechnics at the, at the game, but what else did you see? We'll go with Dano and then to Joe. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I saw a bunch of people grousing on social media about just nonsense. It's like, guys, this is week zero in freaking Europe on a wet field. Like, yeah, it took them a half to get going. No kidding. Bunch of fumbles. I mean, imagine you've been practicing in 90 degree weather for a month and a half, and now suddenly you're in Ireland and it's 65 and raining. Yeah, that is a dramatic difference. Oh, by the way, it's the middle of the night and your body doesn't know what time it is. So I don't think I was surprised by anything that we saw.
Yeah. Joe, how about you?
Yeah, I feel like week zero, you're, you know, playing with house money. You can't really lose. We got a top 25 matchup, and you know, the team showed out for a half and was kind of sloppy. We got to see Hawaii win a big game against Stanford. And, you know, I mean, we got college football. So I feel like it was a success and they could do that every season. I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, for sure. And I would tell you, like, if you didn't watch that Hawaii Stanford game, I think it came in on my cable package late, which kind of sucked. But like, I watched the second half and you're just like, holy moly, man, like this is a track meet. Like somebody needs to play some defense. But, speaking of somebody that doesn't need to play defense, he's all on the offense, and he will help you get a home mortgage, is Craig Oxane. Dano, over to you.
Friends, Craig Oxane is an area sales manager for The Money Store, and he sponsors this great podcast. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. He's one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. He's going to offer you super competitive rates, give you the best deal that he possibly can. And friends, this mortgage process is super confusing. You know, you got interest rates moving around all over the place, which is doubly true now because the Fed is like, I think we might lower rates unless we decide not to. You know, it's just not the time to try to deal with some guy who wants to make a buck off you. But you'd really like to be able to call somebody on the phone and have a conversation. You know, don't call some big box bank, some call center, mindless website. Like, call an actual guy who will break it down for you. And this is, of course, how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Astro Football, and we're trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the very man you need to meet. And finally, as we've discussed before, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings, like $1,300 bucks. Get that money, guys. I'm telling you, save yourself $1,300. Couldn't be easier. So Craig Oxane, area sales manager for the Money Store. Check him out. He's got a little business card on the Astro Football website. Click on that thing, and you'll be talking to him in a couple of hours, like on the actual phone, like a human being.
Thanks, Daniel. Hey, we're moving on to the games of the week. And like, again, I mentioned it earlier at the top, but like what you'll see is when you roll down the list of games on television, there's a bunch of them on ESPN Plus. I guess ESPN Plus is trying to do something to make up for all that revenue that they're losing now that the UFC is leaving next year. So I think they're trying to force everybody on the Plus to watch, you know, the MAC and some of the other conferences that they host on the platform. One thing I did see, though, like if you're a DirecTV person, on the DirecTV stream, they have a four-channel parlay now. So you can just turn it on. It shows all four channels that are running sports. So you get ESPN, ESPN2, Fox Sports, and one of the stupid local network channels. So like ACC or Big Ten or whatever. So I got multi-viewer without multi-viewer. I'm not retiring mine because that just allows me to watch, you know, four more games while the TV's on. But, hey, week one, games kick off on Thursday night. So you got number 25, Boise State against USF. That's a 5:30 on Thursday. That should be an interesting game. It's early. It's a weird time for a Thursday night game, but it's that's what we got, folks. And then, again, you got the in-state rivalry of East Carolina and NC State. I think that'll be an interesting game just to see where East Carolina stopped last year and NC State ended up. I think they were both trending in the opposite direction. So it'll be interesting to see if Cade Hauser can pick up where he left off at ECU last year. There's a bunch of games. I'm not going to go through all of them because we'll be talking all night. But Friday night, moving on, Saturday or Friday night at 6 p.m. is Tarleton State at Army. That's going to be on the CBS Sports Network. I think that'll be a really good game. Tarleton State is actually pretty talented. I watched that Portland State game. Like, those guys can put up some numbers. I don't know if it's a physicality or just a speed difference, but it also didn't help that Portland State did not have a starting quarterback. So, I mean, when they're pulling the water boy out of the stands and giving him the QB1 slot, it's going to be difficult to score, particularly against a team that's that consistent. App State versus UNC Charlotte in Charlotte. That should be an interesting game. Like, that would be fun. Like, anytime that, you know, they come out of the mountains of Boone, that's a good game. Plus, it's a pretty high profile venue too. So that'll be a great game to watch. Western Illinois and Illinois. That's going to be on Peacock. Again, like, all these streaming services are starting to take over. I think one of the only games that's going to be interesting on Thursday night on broadcast cable that's typically in your cable package is going to be GT and Colorado. Shador Sandersless Colorado team with Coach Prime doing some rebuilding. I mean, they're pretty high on them, but of course, you know, if you're watching the media of the respective team, they're going to talk good about their team. But, you know, we know who Haynes King is. He's a known quantity, but, you know, who's the QB1 at freaking Colorado now? You know, I think there's some talent there, but we'll see what happens. Moving on to Saturday, this is where the matchups start to get really juicy. So you got Syracuse at Tennessee. That's going to be the SEC opener in Atlanta. That'll be in the Georgia Dome. That kicks off at noon. Same time window. You're going to be pulling your hair out if you're a Southern Miss or Mississippi State fan, because that's on ESPN. You got BMI at Navy is kicking off at noon at the CBS Sports Network. As previously mentioned, number one versus number three. The Longhorns got to go into the shoe and try and win. That's going to be a tough, tough, tough contest. Tough contest. And then you've got moving on. You know, there's some other matchups out there. You got Florida Atlantic playing Maryland on the Big Ten Network. That's a future Army opponent or in-conference opponent for Army. Bucknell's taking on Air Force at their place. And it's cool. You know, at least CBS Sports Network continues to support the Service Academy. So you'll get most of the Service Academy games unless it's like a weird one that is on another network. Marshall at Georgia. Dude, like, we are Marshall, and we are going to take a beating. We're going to see how Georgia looks, man. Can they reestablish the running game? I think that's been the biggest problem, is like the difficulty that Carson Beck had last year was he did not have a solid running game to keep him out of trouble. So it was totally relying on him to survive, and he did not do so well. Iowa State is taking on South Dakota. South Dakota's a good team, man. Like, they're usually in the FBS FBS playoff every year. They're a tough team. You can get got if you're not paying attention. And then you've got like Joe said, and I said this would have been a compelling matchup 20 years ago, but you got Alabama at Florida State at 3:30. That one's mildly interesting given the way that Florida State has played the last few days. Moving on to the night games, you've got UTSA at Texas A&M. That should be a good one. They're traveling, but like that's basically a home game for both teams. You got North Dakota taking on K-State, see if they can bounce back. LIU at Florida, and then of course the Battle of Death Valley at 7:30. That's kicking off on ABC and ESPN Plus. Again, another high profile matchup on the streaming service. Not so sure why that's happening. And really, you know, the rest of the Saturday slate is cupcakes versus way more powerful teams. And I mean, I get it. You want to shake it, you know, you want to get a shakedown in week one. Sunday, yes, we have games on Sunday. So you got Virginia Tech at South Carolina and Alabama. That should be another interesting game.
Yeah.
You know, Va Tech is, you know, just starting to rebuild. South Carolina, like, they're like the sleeping giant in the SEC. Like, either it's feast or famine for them. Either they're going to win.
Team you take lightly.
Yeah, either they're going to win 10 or they're going to be, you know, 7-6, and, you know, six of their seven wins are going to be upsets that they shouldn't have taken out. You got Notre Dame at Miami. That's 7:30. That's your nightcap on Sunday. And then the Monday night matchup, and yes, I'm saying Monday on Labor Day, you've got TCU at North Carolina. That'll be interesting because we'll see if Bill Belichick, like they're all in, again, living in North Carolina, they are all in on Bill Belichick as the head coach of the Tar Heels. I mean, they're basically going to rename the stadium if he wins. Like, if he wins this weekend, it's going to become, you know, Bill Belichick Stadium in freaking North Carolina. And I'm saying that jokingly, but that's how heavy they're in the tank for Coach Belichick here. Anyway, moving on to the American games of the week, I jumped on the socials, shot a note, and said, hey, what's the most compelling matchup in the American this week? And somebody said Northwestern and Tulane. That should be interesting because Northwestern is kind of they're in an odd place, you know, just with all the coaching stuff that's been going on and everything else that was crazy in the last couple of years. And hey, doggone it, man, as much as we hate it, Tulane is a good team, right?
They really are. They really are.
You know, we can't sit back. Like, you can talk all the smack you want, but if you're an actual college football fan, you're like, dang, man, I really hope I don't have to play those clowns this year because they're pretty tough. But
they're a 5-point favorite in that game against Big Ten Northwestern. That is crazy.
You imagine that line 5 years ago?
No.
That's insane.
Be three touchdown favorites. Northwestern would be at some points there. I mean, it wasn't unheard of to hear them be ranked at any point in the season.
I'm really not sure, other than, you know, those guys acting like clowns down there, but we'll see what happens. Dano, you got any other thoughts on conference games for the American this week?
I mean, the line is like 17 points, but I'm really curious to see how UTSA does against Texas A&M. You know, A&M does not always start fast. They definitely don't always play to their potential. And UTSA should be really, really good this year. So that's pretty damn interesting. I don't know. You know, maybe it's just a question of too many 5 stars and not enough money, but I would really like to see the Roadrunners hang in that game.
Yeah. Like for that one, I think that one's going to be a track meet, man. Like, and this is not even this one's not even my pick for the week, but take the over on that one. Cause I think it'll be a shootout. I legitimately think that one's going to be a shootout. But, all right, guys. Well, we are moving on to the inveterate gambler portion of the show. It is now time for our weekly
locks.
So Dano, high speed.
Thanks for that graphic. That's legit. Like, it's raining cash. Speaking of Dano, back over to you,
man. I feel sexier after watching it.
You both look very sexy right now. I went 1-1 last week. Iowa State showed up, as we said. Sam Houston State did not. That made me sad. This week, give me Toledo at Kentucky -7.5. Dude, how is Kentucky only giving a touchdown against a MAC team at home? That just doesn't compute in my head. I mean, maybe they're going to run a true freshman out there at quarterback. I don't know, but I have trouble believing that the Wildcats are not going to win that one by about 21 points. I just would really surprise me. My other pick, and I might be sorry for this one, but UMass +2.5 at home against Temple. Like, if you know what's going to happen in that game, come on, man. It's 2.5 points just for the home field advantage. Anyway, those are my picks.
Yeah. Thanks, Dan. Joe, how about you?
Yeah, I went 1-1 to sound like I'm echoing what Dano said. Iowa State came through. And then Fresno State looked like they got a lot of problems getting blown out by Kansas. And so that one was an L for me because I had Fresno plus 13.5. This week I have three picks, and you're not going to like my first one. But I've got App State -6.5 going into Charlotte. I love the Mountaineers in this spot. I used to live an eighth of a mile down the street from where they're going to be playing this game, and Colonel Rob can tell you how serious these North Carolina boys take in-state games. App State did a great job in the transfer portal, and they're coming for some scalps, and I don't think 6.5 points is enough. So give me the Mountaineers there. This one isn't real creative, but I'm taking Wisconsin -17.5 at home against Miami of Ohio. I think it's a mid-level MAC school going up against a pretty good Big Ten team at home, and I think Luke Fickell really has to get it going this year, and he should win the games that he is supposed to. So I can see this being like a 31-10 or 31-13 type game. Give me the Badgers -17.5. And then this might be a surprising one. I've got the Ohio Bobcats +15 points at Rutgers on Thursday night. I like the Bobcats coming off an 11-3 season and a bowl victory, not to mention being the returning MAC conference champions. It's a Thursday game in Piscataway, and I think it's going to be ugly because it's week one, and I think Rutgers gets the job done, but I don't think it's by more than 2 touchdowns. So I'm guessing like a 31-21 game, and I think Ohio keeps it within range all game. So there it
interesting.
Is.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's an interesting take. So, yeah, I went 0-2 this week. Not happy about it at all, but it's college football, and the house always wins, right? So missed on Hawaii and Stanford by the dreaded hook, man, by 0.5 is what got me. Hey, first half, Idaho State and UNLV looked pretty tight, and then somehow, like, their defense is checked out at halftime. I mean, obviously the offensive coaches gave much better inspirational speeches than the defensive guys, and so I took it on the chin for that one. This week, I got two picks, taking East Carolina to cover 13.5 against NC State. Although NC State leads the series 19-14, ECU snagged a win last year in the Military Bowl 26-21, and I think it'll be a similar score again, something like that. It'll be close. In-state rivalry, they know each other well enough where, you know, they'll get the cover or maybe even backdoor cover, you know, garbage time in the fourth quarter. And this might be I don't know if this is a controversial take or not, but I think, you know, Joe and I are on opposite sides of this, right? I think it's going to be a one score game. Take UNC Charlotte to cover 6.5 against App State. I think it'll be a closer game than the experts think, but it's an in-state rivalry. So I think it's probably going to be a shootout, right? Surprisingly, the App State leads the series, but year over year, the margin of victory has gotten tighter every time. So, like, I think this is just like that's the trend that this series is going. I mean, the first time they played, it was like 40 or 50 points. I think they beat them by 40 points, and then it's been tightening up every time that they've had this matchup. So, UNC Charlotte, don't let me down. 6.5 points, man.
You can't let them down. It's okay. It's not a big deal. It's a long season.
No, it's
– You know, I based that pick based off the fact that App State and a lot of people around App State are claiming they're going to be at least 2 to 3 wins better than they were last year. So – they did do well in the portal. I know they got a Michigan guy out of the portal. I just can't think of his name, so I'm not going to try and throw one out there. But they got a couple of good names in the portal, and I just think App State's going to be a little bit better.
And, it'll be interesting to see. I think that'll be a good game. That'll be one I'm tuning in to for sure because, again, like if we've learned anything from App State, the finales are always tremendous, right? I mean, like
– Yeah, like, yeah, we know that here in Michigan.
Yeah, like, Joe might know that a little bit too well, but hey, this has been the College Football Roundtable. Thank you for joining us this week, man. It's fast show this week, but not a lot to talk about, not that many games. We'll get a lot deeper next week. Quick reminder, if you are a Firsty Club member, we are going to take a quick adult beverage break, and then we will be back at 6:30 for the As for Football Army Football Show. Also, a quick shout out to the Veteran Trash Talk team for hosting us this Saturday. We popped on and talked about NIL, talked about the overall size and scope of football, or just athletics in high school and college these days now. And then bunch of other topics outside of the usual setting. So it wasn't like Dano and myself, you know, following an outline and making sure that we hit all the points that we need to hit. But it was a good chat, and I enjoyed that. But yeah, wow, that was fast. Under 40 minutes.
You know what? You're allowed to have it be an easy, you know, people listen to this while they're driving their cars. This is all good.
Yeah, true. So, hey, now that you've pulled into your office, welcome back from your commute. Enjoy the rest of your day. And for the team here at the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable, I'm your host, Rob, the Angry Colonel out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Trigger Joe out of the home of the Big House, and Dano Ikebesa calling to you out of coastal Connecticut. And, hey, we will see you guys in about an hour if you're behind the paywall for the Army Football Show. And we will talk to you guys next week. Thanks. Thanks for joining us on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extras. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.